I hope you've had a good week with Memorial Day last Monday, and I hope you've had a good week this week. Steve flew out of town this past week to go up to the Midwest to visit his family. He has family in eastern Nebraska and western Iowa, so he went up there to visit with his mom and siblings, and so he'll be back this week, and so I'm pinch hitting today for Steve, and so I hope you've had a good week. And but one thing I wanted to do as we get ready to go into Romans chapter 12, I'd like to do something that I don't know if we've ever done before here at Hope Bible Church. We're going to have a pop quiz, just like we had in college and high school. So if you'd like to take out a pencil or a pen, and in your notes, there are 8 questions at the beginning of your notes. And if you'd like to just take a few minutes and fill in the answers. And for those who are going to be hearing this later on the internet or in CD format, I'm going to read these 8 questions aloud, okay? So you continue to write the answers now while I read these, please. Question 1, humanity's depraved state. Number 2, God's unmerited favor. 3, our means of availing ourselves of God's unmerited favor. Question 4, the part of ourselves that tries to sidetrack our faith. Number 5, God declaring us righteous while we're in a sinning state. Number 6, the process of the Holy Spirit making us righteous. Number 7, God's predetermining and electing activity. And the last one, we can never be separated from Christ's blank. And just so you know, the scrambled answers are on the back side of your notes on the bottom below the website if you need help. You can look to that. We'll just take a few more minutes and then we'll answer them aloud. I won't whistle the Jeopardy song. Don't worry about that. 3, 2, 1. All right, let's just see. Number 1, humanity's depraved state. Sin, very good. You can answer aloud. Number 2, God's unmerited favor. Grace, very good. Number 3, our means of availing ourselves of God's unmerited favor. Faith, very good. Number 4, the part of ourselves that tries to sidetrack our faith. Flesh. Number 5, God's declaring us righteous while we're in a sinning state. Justification, very good. The process of the Holy Spirit making us righteous. All right, good job. Number 7, God's predetermining and electing activity. Predestination, very good. And number 8, we can never be separated from Christ's love. Very good, very good. You know, the book of Romans is one of my favorites. Over the years, I've tried to go back and back to it. But like Steve Phelps said, you can't begin with Romans 12 unless you get to Romans 1. So I wrote down a few verses here throughout the book of Romans. But Romans 1, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 2, for there is no partiality with God. Romans 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 4, faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. Romans 5, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans 7, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 9, so then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. God is sovereign. Romans 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. And Romans 11, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now we come to Romans 12. Like we sang and we Steve read, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. I urge you therefore. You know, a lot of times you see the word therefore, and you have to go back to the little bit that was written right before that. So chapter 11, where it ends there with to him be the glory for now and forever. So Paul wants us to remember all the things that he taught us. Because really the first 11 chapters, when you think about it, that's more our vertical relationship with God. But the last four chapters are going to be on a horizontal plane between us and other people. That's what these last four chapters are going to be. But a couple of things in verse 1. Our body must be given to God. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. So as we're going down the road of life, God wants control of our bodies. And it's kind of neat. There's a paraphrase of the Scripture called The Message by Eugene Peterson. And he has Romans 12:1. He says this, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. And I like that because that helps me to see what God wants me to do each and every day. So as I'm getting up in the morning, as I'm driving to work, as I'm at work, as I'm off, and I'm going there, or everywhere, wherever I'm going, what am I doing? What am I thinking about? What am I meditating upon? God wants that part of my life. And it's been so much fun. I've shared this story a few times over the years, but a number of years ago, my radio went out in the van at work. And so it's been real fun because I have to choose to listen to something else. So I have this little portable player. And it's been real encouraging to listen to the Scripture. It's been very encouraging to listen to the Scripture as I go through my day. But I think just as a reminder to all of us, God wants our everyday, ordinary life, our sleeping, eating, going to work, or going to school life, whatever that may be, and giving it to Him. That would be something that God would want. Verse 2 here, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is for that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Our mind has got to be given to God. And that's part of listening and reading the Scripture. So that we can have that be going through our minds day by day by day. Because it's amazing when something comes up at work, and I've been thinking about the Scripture, by God's grace I can respond in a godly way. If I am thinking about everything that's wrong with the world, something comes up, I become a lion, you know, and I respond in a negative way. But, you know, I think the two words, conformed and transformed, are very interesting. I wrote this down from some of the research I had done. It says conformed, according to the Greek scholar Kenneth Wiest, it refers to an act of an individual assuming an outward expression that does not come from within him, nor is it representative of his inner heart life. So to be conformed, we do not want to be conformed to the world. We want to be transformed. We want our inner life to be thinking about God's things, God's Word. You know, at the restaurant, we have an ice cream scoop that we use to dish up salads. Turkey pecan salad, tuna salad, and egg and cheese salad. And it's a certain size scoop. And many of you have used ice cream scoops over the years. And you push the trigger, and there's a little half moon piece of metal that goes around the inside of the scoop. And it scoops out what's inside onto the bread. So that if you do it at 8 o'clock in the morning, or you do it at noon, or you do it at 6 o'clock at night, it's always the same amount of ounces. It's a 6-ounce portion. It's an 8-ounce portion, depending upon what it is. But basically, that tuna salad is conformed. That's boom, boom, boom. It's cookie cutter tuna fish down the row for sandwiches. Now, if you were just a regular server there at the restaurant, and you went over and got a spoon, and you dipped that spoon into the bowl of tuna fish, and you gave it one of these, and plopped that thing on the bread, you might have 12, 15 ounces. And my boss wouldn't like that because portion control is not there. But you know, we don't want to be conformed. We want to be transformed. You know, you probably all know about butterflies. You know, that's what we want to be. We want to be like a butterfly. What's inside, we want to come out. We want what's inside to be coming out. Because what we think about is what's going to come out when the pressure comes and squeezes us. And we want to be men and women that have godly thoughts coming out. Verse 3. For though the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Here he's going to talk about spiritual gifts in a few verses. And you know, whatever spiritual gift God has given to us, we want to use it for His glory. We don't want to start thinking, hey, you know, I'm pretty good at A. I'm pretty good at B. You're pretty good at A. You're pretty good at B. We want God to get the glory. We don't want individuals to get the glory. So for us, it's very important. I wrote down this other piece of information that I was reading. It says, the measure of faith. It's the correct proportion of the spiritual gift the Holy Spirit gives each believer so that he or she may fulfill his or her role in the body of Christ. That's our goal. We want to fulfill our role in the body of Christ. And so as we're going through day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, we want God to get the glory. So whatever our gift is, use it for Him and not for ourselves. Verses 4 and 5 here. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. For church to operate the way that God wants it to operate, everybody has got to be using their spiritual gifts. But we don't all have the same spiritual gifts. And I wrote down a couple of things here in my notes. It says, we want to be interdependently working with others as opposed to independently. You know, we want to be working together as a team. You know, at the restaurant, we work as a team. One individual does not do a whole order. We may have the frosters do something, the baker does something, the salad person does something. Everybody in their position does something. It gets put in the appropriate place, and then the customer picks it up. But there may be 9 items that employees have touched, but yet they didn't all touch the same item. But when you put it together, it is given to the customer. Just like a church. We have folks who do things in a public way, and we have folks who do things in a behind-the-scenes way. They're all valuable. They're all important. That's how a church operates. You know, some of the things that go on here at Hope Bible, you don't even know. I don't even know. But that's the way it is. It's so neat when we see men and women working together. And the important thing is Christ's headship is what gives the body its unity. God likes diversity. He doesn't want us all to be the same. I have gifts, you have gifts. But you know, Christ is the head and we all fall in line underneath Him. So it's neat. You know, we have folks from different backgrounds. We have folks with different skill sets. Use it for the Lord. Whatever your skill is, whatever your gift is, use it for the Lord Jesus. That's what we want. Verses 6 and 8 here, the different gifts now. We're going to get into these a little bit. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Prophecy, the gift of preaching, the proclaiming of God's word. You know, back when this was written, not all the scripture was completed. So this could refer to like some of John's writings later on, like Revelation. You know, that was going to be a revelation, you know, revelatory in the future. But you know, really, for our day and age right now, it's just basically proclaiming the Word of God. And I wrote down this definition that Chuck Swindoll had. He said, to proclaim the Word of God is to instruct and declare and reveal what God has written in His Word. And that's so important for us to share the Word. That's what we want to do as we come together. Service. Every sort of practical help that Christians can give one another. You know, just the gift of serving, it's amazing. It could be behind the scenes, it could be in front, but serving, serving, serving. Whether you take out the trash, or whether you sing, or whether you do something behind the scenes, or you work in accounting, it's all valuable. And that's what's very, very important about being in a church, is to let our gifts shine. And Steve and I really appreciate it. Again, we don't know a lot that goes on behind the scenes, but we really appreciate everybody's acting in their gifting. Very, very important. Teaching. Presenting God's truth understandably. Presenting God's truth understandably. That's what we want to do. We want to take the Word of God and then pass it on so that men and women can understand it, hear it, and then put it into practice. One of the things that I have enjoyed doing at Christmas time, some friends of ours gave us a book. It's Bonhoeffer by Eric Metaxas. And there was one part in there I wanted to read to you for you today. And it was when he was in New York. He was in Germany, and things were starting to change there in Germany. And he came back to New York. He'd been there once before, but he left and he came back. And some of the folks were thinking, boy, I hope he stays because, you know, he could be thrown in a concentration camp. But deep down, God was beginning to stir his heart. And I think he was realizing, hey, I think God wants me to go back. But here he was in New York City, and he wanted to go to church. And this is an excerpt from part of the book here by Eric Metaxas on Bonhoeffer. But this morning, Bonhoeffer burned to hear something from God. He wanted to go to the local church, which was across the street from the college. Now, Riverside was the church that Rockefeller had built for Harry Emerson Fosdick, which had opened to such fanfare in 1930. In 1939, Fosdick was still the most famous liberal preacher in America, and Riverside was America's premier pulpit of theological liberalism. This is where Mr. Bonhoeffer was going to go to church. Bonhoeffer was in a mood to hear God in the preaching of His Word, even if it was not in the precise form he liked. But he was in no mood for what he heard that morning at Riverside. The text for the sermon was from James, but not from the James of the New Testament. It was from the American philosopher William James, whose works Bonhoeffer had studied 9 years earlier. The unusually, exceedingly gracious and tolerant Bonhoeffer had been aching for something of God, but he had come to the wrong place. In his diary, he wrote, quite unbearable. The empty preaching set him off. And he poured out his disgust to his diary. The whole thing was a respectable, self-indulgent, self-satisfied religious celebration. This sort of idolatrous religion stirs up the flesh, which is accustomed to being kept in check by the Word of God. You know, it's very important to use the Scripture as we share on Sunday morning. And that's what Steve and I want to do, or for anybody who fills in. You know, yesterday we were over in Orlando at a wedding. A lot of you know Vanessa, the young woman who just graduated from college. And she and her fiancé, German, got married. And it was really a great time. The service honored God, the reception honored God. It was great. But prior to that, Janet and I met Dan and Carol Lee Hayden for lunch at a restaurant over near the Millennium Mall over there in the center of Orlando. And it was really fun just talking to Dan and Carol Lee. And they were just saying, boy, you know, the importance of using the Word of God. And of course, Dan is one of our guest speakers twice a year, and that's why we have Dan and Marv, is because they're men who use the Word of God, you know. But teaching, presenting God's truth understandably. Exhortation, calling Christians to obey and follow the truth, to urge by words as of advice, encouragement, or warning. And it could be verbal, it could be written, but to exhort, calling Christians to obey and follow the truth. You know, it's so important to exhort others, to encourage others to follow the Lord. Things are going to happen. You know, we're going to be high as a kite and we're going to be excited about things of the Lord, and other times we're going to be going through the valley. That's just the Christian life. But you know, when we come across other people that we know very well, let's encourage them, let's warn them, let's help them to understand the things of God. Let's come alongside. And sometimes we say something, and sometimes we just put a hand on the shoulder and say, I'll be praying for you. Or we listen. You know, we listen. Janet's been helping me with that over the last 31 years to be a good listener. And this week I had a chance, I had a delivery down at the Port of Tampa. And my acquaintance, Luis, was there. And I just asked him like I do every time. I said, Luis, how's it going? And boy, it was like somebody turned on a fire hydrant. And he just, whoop! And his mother-in-law had passed away. And he was talking about going through the estate and going through this and the certified copy of the will and a regular copy of the will. And I just stood there and listened. I thought, wow. And I said, after he finished, it was about 6 minutes. I just stood there. I thought, well, praise the Lord, I'm finally learning this, after all these years. And I said, Luis, I can really understand what you're going through. I said, because my mom passed away in January. And I told him one quick story, and he started laughing. And we connected just like that. But, it's important to encourage others. And, you can do that by a phone call, by talking to somebody, by sending them a letter, sending them an email, whatever you do, text, there's all sorts of ways to communicate. But don't be afraid to say thanks or encourage somebody. If they're going through the ringer, hey, listen and then, encourage them. But just encouragement, exhortation is very important. And giving, sharing and imparting that which is one's own. I wrote down the three T's, our time, our talents, and our treasures. Very important to be men and women that are giving of our time, our talents, and our treasures. I know for certain, I can bet on it, I'm not a betting man, but I know that nobody in this auditorium is going to call on me to come fix their car. I just know it. Nobody would do that. But there are other men in this auditorium that can fix a car blindfolded. And we all have things that God has given us. And use them, whatever it is. Our time, our talent, our money, really. It's important to be able to help out. Say there's a function at work. They have a monthly meal or a birthday meal, whatever they might have, and they ask everybody to bring something. Well, you might not be a cook, and that's okay. We don't all cook. But, maybe you could bring a bag of ice. Or you could bring a 2-liter soda or something, or buy some potato salad at Publix, whatever. But giving, whatever that is, just help out a little bit. You might buy the paper products. Napkins. We all need napkins at a barbecue, right? But whatever it is. Or just ask the host, hey, what can I bring? And they may say nothing. And you say, well, okay, I won't bring anything then. And you just go and enjoy it then. But, just our heart attitude, are we men and women that would be ones who would be sharing our time, our talent, and our treasure with others? And we can't be buddy-buddy with everybody. I understand that. But, what is our heart attitude as we're following the Lord? Are we wanting to do this? And with liberality, it's heartfelt giving, untainted by affection or ulterior motive. We don't want to be bringing stuff or doing stuff or using our talents to be noticed. We want God to get the glory as we live our Christian lives in 2013. Leadership. To lead others, to guide, to steer a ship. At work or at church, we have folks who lead. At home, folks who lead. It's very important to be able to steer a ship or to guide or to lead others or to encourage one another. Here at church, Steve's desire and my desire is to present every man and woman here complete in Christ, for you to grow in your relationship with Christ at whatever pace or speed that is. It's between you and God. We're not going to apply any pressure. It's between you and God as you grow in your relationship with God. Recently I was listening to Chuck Swindoll on the radio, and he said that in this day and age, we have this happening. He says, we worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. Let me read that again. Chuck said that we worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. I don't think we should be playing at our worship. I think we should be worshiping God so that He gets the glory. And it's very important. But, we want to guide people to look to the Lord Jesus. Because, when you're at home, or you're at work, or you're on vacation, you know, the folks at church aren't with you. You're by yourself, usually, or with your spouse or your family, and when something happens, how do I react? You know, do I explode like a time bomb, like the 4th of July? Or do I just calmly say, okay, Lord, thank you for this, let's move on. But to lead, to point people to the Lord, that's what we desire. Showing mercy. Special sensitivity to suffering and sorrow. Noticing misery and distress with the desire and means to help alleviate afflictions. While the gift of mercy, so necessary in a church. And not all of us have it, but I am thankful for those who do have the gift of mercy to come alongside. And you know, as we comfort other people or encourage other people or show mercy towards other people, if that particular distress or illness or circumstance has not happened in your life, well, you can't really identify with them. Like, for example, my father is still alive. So if I hear that somebody's father has died, I can comfort them by saying, well, I'll pray for you, but I do not know what that's like to lose a father because my father is still alive. But there are those who have lost a father, and they can say, boy, I understand what you're going through because they've been through it. So as we show mercy, I think God just wants us to be growing in sensitivity to suffering and sorrow. Because, you know, we're all going to have suffering and sorrow and persecution to one degree or another. That's just life while we're on this planet. But I was thinking that one thing that really helps Janet and I is to be getting into the Word on a daily basis, to listen to it. And years ago I heard this, and recently I heard it on the radio, but it was kind of fun. You know, you've probably heard the hand example to get a grasp of the Word. So the pinky, you want to hear it. Then the ring finger, you want to read it. Then the middle finger, you want to study it. Then the index finger, you want to memorize it. And the thumb, you want to meditate on it. Because then you have a grasp. You can get a grasp. You know, here, I got it. Boy, I got it. And that has been real fun for us to try to do that. Even this morning as we got up, we had a little time at the hotel to read. And then on the way back, we just turned on Moody Radio because it came in all the way from Orlando to Tampa, you know. And it was real encouraging. Ravi Zacharias was on. And, you know, sometimes Ravi can, like, shoot over my head. You know, God's given him such an ability to communicate. And I think, well, I'm just going to listen and pick out maybe two things that I could learn from him. But it was real encouraging. And then they had a Sunday morning program. It was worship and praise music as we were driving back. But, you know, to get into the Word is very, very important. So no matter what gift you have, there are other places where gifts are listed, obviously. But, you know, if you have the gift of sharing the Word or service or teaching or exhortation or giving or leadership or showing mercy, exercise it for the glory of God. You know, God will bring things into your life at home, here at church, and use it for His glory. That's what we desire. So I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. You know, when I think of the word sacrifice, I usually think of sacrificing some animal and putting it on an altar like they did back in the Old Testament, you know. But because Christ died on the cross, we don't have to offer, you know, animals anymore. But we're living sacrifices. And so every day, so, you know, if I blew it yesterday, if I had a bad attitude or I said something I shouldn't have said, you know, I'm forgiven. I can ask God to forgive me and cleanse me, and then today's a new day. I can get back up and walk for Him because I'm sacrificing my life for Him. That's what we desire. And so as whatever you're going through, I don't know what it is, but look to the Lord and, you know, listen to the Word or read the Word. You know, and I'll be honest with you, I've shared this before. When I was in high school and college, I wasn't much of a reader. Reading was very, very difficult for me. And then when I became a Christian, I started just trying to read like 4 or 5 verses of a chapter. And then the next day I'd pick it up, you know, the next 4 or 5 verses. And gradually, over time, because, you know, I couldn't find Monarch Notes and Cliff Notes of the Bible. They weren't out there, you know. So I just started reading, you know, reading and reading. And by God's grace, over these last 30 years or so, He's helped me where now I have a desire to read the Scripture or to listen to the Scripture And it's been so encouraging to get it into my mind, because then it goes through my mind, you know, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is where the battle is, right up here. The battle is not, you know, here. It's not out there to one degree, but right here in our mind. This is where it is. What am I believing? Am I believing the things of the world, or am I believing the Scripture? And there's so much going on out there. Yesterday at lunch, talking with Dan and Carol Lee, we were saying, you know, it just seems like this is an age where right is wrong and wrong is right. It just seems like everybody is doing what is right in his own eyes, because there's no reference. There's no, you know, center line. But the Scripture is very clear on many different things. And where it's not clear, we shouldn't be dogmatic. You know, we have this grace. But you know, boy, where it is clear, I think we should be clear too, in a loving, kind way. You know, like Ravi said this morning on the radio, he said that verse, but be ready to give a defense for the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Because he said apologetics in and of itself is not going to win someone to Christ. It may answer a question or two, but he said it's going to be the community, the life of the individual, where they see something is different, where they come back and the next day they treat me with kindness, not just during the debate. And that's what God wants. So when we have co-workers or neighbors, sometimes they can rub us the wrong way. God is allowing that so that we will look to Him as we go down the road of life. So I don't know where you're at today, but just look to Him. Be in the Word, listening to it or reading it, and just see what God would do. Because it's a Christian life. It's going to go on until we die. And let's exalt Him as we walk down this road together. Okay? Let's pray. Well, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to get together. And we thank you for your love. And thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, it is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And thank you, Lord, that it's relevant for 2013. Just help us, Lord, to be men and women who are meditating on it day and night, so that we may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then we'll make our way prosperous. And then we'll have success. And Lord, we want your prosperity. We want to be having just our hearts and minds knowing that we're doing your will as we go down the road of life. Lord, whether we're at home, at school, or in the workplace, just help us to see that we want to glorify you. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. That's what we desire, Lord, in 2013. Please help us. We're needy people, Lord. We drop the ball so many times, but yet you're a gracious and loving and forgiving Heavenly Father. God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. Just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the example of Jesus in the Scriptures. And thank you, Lord, He's from Genesis to Revelation. We thank you for that also. So we just commit this day into your hands. Please use us as you see fit now. And we thank you for this time as we continue our worship service to glorify you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen.